Freaks and geeks, welcome back to another episode of Lane Shift, where things get freaky and geeky. In fact, I always feel like it stays freaky and geeky at this point. This episode is brought to you by the Slash and Cast Podcast Network, but we're doing Creepshow, and I brought my all-time favorite guest, who's reoccurred in multiple episodes. You know him, you love him, Matt Chacha. Let's go!
What's going on, guys? For any of you who don't know me, my name is Matt Chacha. I'm a lead community developer at Gun, working on, you know, everything from Friday the 13th to Layers of Fear to new things that you don't know about yet. I love Creepshow, so I'm pretty psyched that Lane asked me on.
Yeah, of course, man. I was sitting here the other day, and I was like, when's the last time I did horror? And I kept sitting there stroking my somewhat of a beard, and I was like, oh, shit, I should do Creepshow while watching it. And then it's like, maybe I should bring a guest. And I thought, oh, Matt, he loves Creepshow. Perfect.
I'm just a guy. Well, you know, it's good time for it because, you know, Creepshow Season 2 is just kicking off and getting rolling. I think Episode 2 of Season 2 aired today. And I say aired, it's a Shudder series, so they pretty much, they go live on the day, like, whenever. I think they're up in the morning, but I, because of work and things like that, I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, so unfortunately I won't be able to comment on episode two, but literally everything else Creepshow I've seen 100 million times, so yeah, I'm pretty pumped.
Well, Matt, you definitely have a better excuse for me because I'm just not a morning person, and I just decided to go to the gym and do a bunch of adult things today.
I'm not doing it, yeah. So, okay, that's fair. That's fair, too.
So I've also have yet to see episode two, but like you, I've seen all the other things about 100,000 million times, and I could probably quote it sadly. All right. So, Matt, Creepshow 1. Excellent, right? I think so.
Yeah, Creepshow 1 is the kickoff, right? Because Creepshow 1 is like, it's like the Eagles of horror in there, you know? They had Tom Savini and George Romero and Stephen King all working together on a horror project. And not just a horror project, but like, right? It was more a matter of, hey, we love these old horror comics. These are like... And honestly, this is why, and I'm jumping around a bit, but this is why in season two, episode one, the model kid episode really gets to me, because that's kind of like the basis of what Creepshow was founded on. The idea that, oh, as kids, we would read these horror comics, we were big fans of horror and all this, and like that like childlike interest in horror is very much like a part of what the original Creepshow film was born out of, you know, this group of horror, you know, this group of horror creatives and horror talents that all had a mutual love of these old horror comics. And so they were like, let's make a movie that's like an ode to that. And, that's why Creepshow 1 is obviously so special, you know, because not, it's the original, of course, but also because just the powerhouse group of people they got together to do that, you know?
Yeah, no, it's honestly, I mean, Creepshow 1 is phenomenal. When getting into horror, probably coming out of like real deal childhood into my preteens, when I stumbled upon Creepshow, I really watched it and enjoyed it a lot more than I thought I was going to, because my parents, she was always like all about that kind of stuff, including Creepshow. I was like, all right, check it out. But then I actually fell in love with it. And to this day, yeah, Creepshow has definitely held a thing to me. It definitely inflicts my taste in horror too, because I get really excited for horror movies that are like Creepshow. It's based upon multiple different stories and tales, including horror video games. So Creepshow has definitely widened my taste for certain things in like the horror genre, which, and it honestly is phenomenal because of all the big names they get into it with it as well. I mean, as you've literally said, George A. Romero, Tom Savini, like all of them, like these weren't small names back then. They were enormous.
Yeah.
And they still are.
Well, and, you know, the whole thing with Creepshow, something that's really interesting, if I'm not mistaken, and now, you know, anybody that has listened to me on podcasts knows that I hate notes and I hate, like, Googling shit while we're talking. Like, I can't do it. I hate it. So I might be wrong here, but I'm pretty sure that, His name is Wakeman. Is it Chris Wakeman? I can't remember his full name, and I apologize now. But I believe that Wakeman, who was like a director of photography or principal camera or something like that, or whatever, and also worked on the soundtrack, which is a weird kind of thing, was a part of Creepshow 1. I believe he directed Creepshow 2. But, you know, so again, those familial, you know, family ties throughout Creepshow. But also, Tom Savini did the special effects makeup in Creepshow 1, and he kind of was like the mentor to Greg Nicotero, who did the special effects makeup in Creepshow 2 and who now runs the Creepshow TV series. So, like, again, there's all these, like, ties to just that scene, that, like, you know, horror creative scene. Oh, wow. And I just think that's really rad, you know?
Yeah.
I'm gonna break my own rule and I'm gonna Google it now, because I'm telling you, the director of Creepshow 2 was involved with Creepshow 1, and I want to say it was Wakeman, but I can't remember his first name, and I feel incredibly rude. No, Michael Gornick did Creepshow 2. Okay. So the soundtrack for Creepshow 1... Oh, let's see. Wait, let's look at Michael Gornick. Let's look at his page and see what his IMDb tells Creeping us, because Greek. He was involved with Creepshow 1 as well. Yeah. He was involved with Creepshow. It says a producer director, but he had to have been a producer on Creepshow 1. So let's see. Look, now we're all. This is why I don't like researching things while we're in the middle of.
This is why you don't break your rules right here.
That's right. It totally destroys the whole, the whole conversation and all.
No, but you're good. Don't worry.
The music was John Harrison. The music was John Harrison. That's right. Cinematography. See, I was kind of right. I don't know where I was pulling Wakeman from. Maybe Wakeman did the soundtrack for Creepshow 2. That's what we're going to look at next. But so Michael Gornick directed Creepshow 2, but he was director of photography on Creepshow 1. So I was kind of right and kind of wrong. So the director of photography from Creepshow 1, you know, obviously Romero didn't do Creepshow 2, so they got the director of photography, who is pretty damn close, do, you know, Creepshow 2. So again, like, the whole thing kind of, it's like this group, this cast of characters, like, in the cast and crew there that have helped make this over time. And K&B Effects, which is Nicotero's effects company, was actually somewhat young. I'm not sure that they were all involved, but I know, I want to say it was Howard Berger and Greg Nicotero, who are the N and the B in K&B. They definitely worked on Creepshow 2 because they made all the slime for the raft segment and all of that. They were, I want to say Nicotero was, special effects, makeup effects lead, or Berger was, one of the two of them was. So again, wow. One of those things where, you know, yeah.
And just like
I realize how bad I just rambled there, and I apologize.
No, you're good. See, this is why I bring you on. You, as I always like to say, you're Matt with the facts, man. You just have these astonishing, mind-blowing facts. Like, honestly, I had maybe about 20% knowledge of this, and you just opened my mind to a new knowledge link. Like, this is amazing.
Of course, though, I had to go and Google it and break my rule. I hate that fact. But, yeah.
Hey,
I guess it happens once in a while.
Right? Sometimes, you know, you just forget things, and you gotta go back and go, oh, yeah. Like, right. I did an episode with someone in the network recently, and I had to actually Google something myself, which I never ever do as well. I don't write anything down, and I don't Google, and yet
I can't stand it. Yeah. I can't stand it because I feel like, okay, Rick Wakeman. I couldn't remember the name. Rick Wakeman was the additional music for Creepshow 2.
Oh, wow.
That's where I was getting that from. Wakeman was additional music for Creepshow 2, and I bet you if you dig around... I have this really great Blu-ray. Is it like Special Desserts or something like that? I can't remember. It's something like that, but it's the making of Creepshow. And they talk about someone involved on the production side of Creepshow 1 who also helped make music for Creepshow 1. And I can't remember exactly who that might have been, but yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. That's interesting. So,
That's where my head went. But the shorter version of that entire, you know, back and forth and all of that time wasted on that conversation is, the long and short of it is, you know, this group of horror fans was kind of like gutting it out. They all got involved, and it was out of pure love for the material, which is derivative of, you know, the original EC comics and all of that. So, yeah.
Wow. That's really interesting. And, you know, I gotta say, I'm pretty sure I'm about to be wrong about this. Wasn't Tom Savini, didn't he portray the creep at one point throughout the Creepshow series?
Yeah, in Creepshow 2, he's the creep in the truck.
That's right. Yeah. I couldn't remember which one to save my life. I knew it was 2. I just didn't want to blurt it out, but I was right in my mind. I should have just said Creepshow 2 and went on a limb. Yeah. Never second guess yourself.
Right. Just commit. That's what it comes down to. Just commit.
Right.
Yeah. So here is where I have it messed up, and now I'm going to explain myself because I've done the research live on the podcast, and now I can see where my head. I'm getting old, guys. Okay, I'm 40 now, so like I'm an old man, and I forget things. But John Harrison, who helped do the soundtrack and score and music for Creepshow 1, was assistant director on Creepshow 1 as well. So he did both of those roles. That's where I got it in my head. You know, I confused that first assistant director with director of photography. The director of photography, Michael Gornick, directed Creepshow 2. And Wakeman, who has nothing to do with either of them, was sound on Creepshow 2 and music on Creepshow 2, not Creepshow 1. So that's where I got all confused. There's a whole lot of creepy creep shows in there. And yeah, in my old man brain, it turned into creep show soup. So I apologize. But it all makes sense, I promise.
It sounds like a real creep show tale, to be quite honest, when you say creep show soup.
Yeah. But again, all of that is a whole bunch. You can tell I'm out of practice on this. All of that is a whole bunch of words to say that everybody was kind of working to create the whole, like, you know. It's not unlike, I look at indie games and things like that the same kind of way, when everybody's kind of wearing a lot of different hats to just get the thing done because you all love the project and you're there for the love of the creation. And that's something that showed through in Creepshow 1, Creepshow 2, the Creepshow series, that love for the source material and, you know, the kind of family connection of the people making it, who all have that one common bond of they all just love the source material. And that source material now with the Shudder series is calling back to the films, which are calling back to EC Comics, which is like a hell of a timeline of horror. So,
yeah.
And they're also, you know, some of the Creepshow in general is some of the kind of, you know, premier horror anthology. When you think of horror anthologies, you think of Creepshow, Tales from the Crypt, things like that. And it's just good to have it back. I'm glad that we're, you know, now on episode 2 of season 2, and they've apparently renewed it for a whole season 3. So even once season 2 is complete, we're going to get a whole third season of Creepshow, which is going to be great. Yeah.
Let's go. Because honestly, that's a scary thing with horror series. No matter how good they are, they're really not really loved so much. So you really don't know where you're going to get more of. And now that you said that, I had no idea. That makes me happy. I'm like, I'm about to cry.
Yeah, a lot of them seem to do a season or two, with the exception of some of the ones that are kind of like horror, but different. I don't know. Like American Horror Story, despite it being in the title, has gone a couple of different ways with it to keep people interested, I think. And they've also had one thing that American Horror Story does that's really intelligent is the way each season is like an encapsulated long movie, you know?
Yeah.
So that keeps people from getting bored. Like, if you had the same cast of characters and stuff, like, you couldn't do, you know, The Sopranos, but horror. You know what I mean? You couldn't do something that was the same group of people, the same cast of characters, the same kind of ongoing storyline. I don't know that you could get more than a couple seasons out of it, because, I mean, people got to die, right?
Right.
People got to die and somebody's got to live. That person that lives can't be in the, you know, he can't have an orbit, or he or she can't have an orbit around them of just dead people every season, you know, dozens and dozens of dead people. It would be like, you know, maybe this guy should go live on a remote island somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay. With horror anthology series, what's cool is they tap into that same kind of thing. Like American Horror Story does, but even on a shorter scale. They have 2 segments per episode in the Creepshow series, and that keeps it fresh. Even when you come across a segment that you're like, I'm not really a big fan of this one. You find yourself not like, you know, if you're binging it or whatever, you find yourself not really skipping. I mean, how much is a segment? So you're still kind of in it and, you know, viewing it, and then you know you're going to move on to something else. And
Oh yeah.
I don't know. I'm a punk rocker too, so like I have that short attention span, and if I don't like something, it better be over in the next minute and a half. Otherwise, I'm going to like, you know, I'll never put it back on again, you know? So, just like my songs, I like them to be somewhere in between 45 seconds and a minute and a half. I like my segments to be, you know, snappy. That way, if it's one that maybe doesn't resonate with me, it's over in a blink, and I'm going on about my life and watching more Creepshow. So,
Yeah, no.
and again, though, you know, that attention deficit, I think that's why I like Creepshow so much, because it's like, you know, segments just kind of come and go, and you like them or you
Right.
don't, and they're over in a few minutes, and yeah.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. No, another thing I really like about Creepshow is I really like it because, I mean, if we're gonna go series wise real quick, I like the TV series because it really does feel like the movies. I mean, honestly, I was really shocked that Creepshow was going to make a comeback, including after Creepshow 3, which I'm not a really big fan of Creepshow 3. It's not bad. It's just, I don't know, it felt
Yeah.
a little off the rails and definitely nothing like Creepshow
Yeah,
to me.
I don't even, you notice, like, whenever I talk about this, I never talk about that movie, because I'm just kind of like,
Yeah, it's like,
Not
you're
a
not a
huge fan. Yeah.
Creepshow.
And
It's
what's
like,
funny is I didn't even know it existed until not like only a couple of years ago, right?
I actually
I always knew
remember
about
that.
Creepshow 1 and 2, but I didn't
Yeah.
even know Creepshow 3 existed. And that's why I was like, yeah, there's a Creepshow 3. And I was like, I gotta see it. How the hell did I not know about this, you know? And I watched it, and I was like, oh my God, I didn't need to see that. I wish, and like, I kind of wish, no, I wish nobody had told me about it, because honestly, I was just living my Creepshow fandom without ever knowing it was a thing and just being okay with that, you know? And then once you see it, you're like, oh, that is not cool. But yeah.
It's like if you're a Spider-Man 1 and 2 fan of the original Tobey Maguire series, you're like, there's a 3, and then you watch it, you're like, there shouldn't be a 3.
Yeah. That no, who needed that? But
Right.
you know, I just yeah, Creepshow 3, that's a yikes. But you know, the thing with Creepshow the series, I think it's what everybody needs in the world of horror, and the respect that we have all this horror that's really heavy, and maybe it has social and political themes, or it has, you know, really heavy tones dealing with trauma and grief and
Yeah.
all of these other elements of horror lately that are kind of stretching horror to different places, right? It's not just there's a guy in the camp and he's stabbing kids anymore, you know? It's there, horror's being pulled in all these cool new directions and doing all this cool new stuff. And you know, I think that's great. I'm not trying to knock that, but I think that you get a little bit of fatigue to that. Like,
Yeah.
there's only so many movies with heavy subject matter that you can view, and so many movies that are like pushing the envelope further and further and further in different directions, whether it's, you know, with themes or gore or violence or whatever the case,
Oh
right? And so you know, you can only kind of get pushed so far in those directions before you're like, I have a little bit of fatigue, like I need a break, I need, you know. And I think that that probably is a large part of why we see some of the trends we do in the overall horror scheme of things, you know. We had horror movies in like the late 70s and early 80s and stuff that were just scaring the shit out of people. And then toward the end of the 80s, it went down like a bit, you know, early 90s even, it went like down a comedic almost route, and they became kind of a lot of like goof horror kind of stuff. And that's cool too. I'm not, again, I'm not criticizing any of this. I think that that is like a welcome break. You know, when you watch like Texas Chainsaw and Halloween, you know what I mean? And then you watch like, I don't know, Slumber Party Massacre or whatever, you know what I mean? You get a very different vibe from it. Like, at the times that Texas Chainsaw, Halloween, Friday the 13th, those movies were coming out, they were scaring people of like rural America, scaring people of being the
Yeah.
babysitter up alone, and scaring people from camping, you know, like, you know, like what Psycho did to showers, you know, those kinds of that kind of vibe. They were horrifying people in that way. And I don't know anybody that was like, I don't ever want to go camping again because I saw a Slumber Party Massacre. Or, you know, I don't ever want to go to a slumber party again because I saw
Jaws freaked me out from the beach for a minute.
Yeah, like let's not celebrate Christmas because I watched Silent Night, Deadly Night, and I'm scared. You know, like that didn't happen. So you kind of had that horror being very real, gritty, and really horrifying people, and then it slid to like a bit of a comedic thing. And yeah, there was serious horror then too, but you know, the idea of you know, influence and horror kind of shifting all over the place in order to normalize and not have that fatigue. And I think that Creepshow provides that currently right now. And any projects like Creepshow kind of provide that currently.
Oh yeah.
I would even say, you know, in a different way. Again, you can't one to one Creepshow and the movie I'm about to bring up, but like films like Satanic Panic that came out, they're horror that horror fans can watch, and we all get into it. Or like Porno, you know, that horror film Porno that came out. They're horror films, and like we can all kind of watch them and be like, wow, that's great. You know, horror. You know, that's cool. And get our little horror fix, but they're not in the same vein as, like, you know, when a horror fan sits down and watches one of these other heavy. I watched Violation recently. Really a tough watch, but it's really, you know, it's really heavy subject matter, basically. And it's strange too, because I don't know, the horror is a different kind of horror for sure. But anyhow, you know, there are moments when you want that, and there's moments when you want some levity, and you know you're still a horror fan. And I think that Creepshow provides the other end of that spectrum for a lot of folks, and I think it's great. I hope that also it kind of leads to a bit of another spike in horror anthology, because we just saw like Mortuary Collection, I believe it's called, right? Isn't that the one on Shudder? Mortuary Collection. It's another anthology. VHS feels like they're due for a film.
I love the VHS series. VHS is really good.
Yeah, have you seen Southbound also? That's another one.
No, I haven't. Good.
Yeah, and so yeah, there's a lot of, you know, hopefully we're seeing a little bit of a revival in that, because I think it's something that it always hits me like in a I don't know. I have a special place for anthology because it's like they're campfire stories, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's essentially horror anthologies is like a string of campfire stories, and that's kind of what I love about it, at least.
Oh yeah,
and Creepshow being the one that brings that levity. I think, you know, there are a lot of times where I go down rabbit holes of, you know, horror films that are just almost tiring to watch, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but tiring, like you feel emotionally exhausted when they're over, and then you pop on, you know, like a season of Creepshow or Creepshow 1 or 2, and just kind of, you know, hit the reset button while still watching a horror movie and enjoy yourself. I think that's an important part of this. It's also why I like Street Trash so much.
Dude, that is an excellent movie. When you did the double feature on that and I heard the title, I was like, oh, what is this? And I watched it, I was like, damn, this is actually really good.
I love it. And being from New York and just everybody's accents, and yeah, I love it. Street Trash, Frankenhooker, Basket Case. Those are movies that like I pop in when I need a giggle too. So,
oh, Frankenhooker.
Creepshow as well. So
I will never ever forget that movie because of you, Matt. You've led me on some really good taste, but you really tormented me with Cannibal Holocaust. I had to bring it up just because I have you on.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's been a minute since you said anything about it. So I did your Easter egg. That's how you know Matt Chacha's on when you bring up Cannibal Holocaust.
That's right. I can never get away from the Cannibal Holocaust talk.
Right.
As a matter of fact, you know, I was, you know, I got into this thing, right? I got into this like kind of rut of talking about Cannibal Holocaust constantly. And it was like, suddenly it was like I was being challenged as like the authority on Cannibal Holocaust by people. And I was like, look, guys, this isn't something that I want or am proud of, or like, you know, please don't come to me with your Cannibal Holocaust questions, because like you're just furthering this. And so now I've kind of actually been in a drought of talking about Cannibal Holocaust, which is good, because I feel like it's just good for me. to not constantly talk about Cannibal Holocaust.
Yeah, no, when you said it was a curse, I literally thought you were joking, but I shit you not, every time someone talks about a horror movie that, like, horrors or taunts you, I'm like, the first thing that comes to my mind, and you know, because I'm always at you in this shit, I'm like, at Matt Cha-Cha, yeah. This motherfucker put the curse on me.
I said something on Twitter about Cannibal Holocaust the other day, right? I said something, well, not the other day, it was a while ago already, but I said something about it, and then somebody was like, isn't that the movie that the director was put on trial for, you know, the film, and he had to bring the actors in to prove that they were still alive and that he didn't kill them? And I made a comment, I made a short comment, I said, yeah, that's, you know, that's the rumor, or what a rumor has it, or however I said it. And someone who loves to hate me went off on a tangent about how I'm a horror poser because I said rumor has it and how that's fact. And I wanted to clear that up, actually, while we're talking about Cannibal Holocaust.
He's here to redeem himself. That's great. I love it.
Number one, I mean, I don't really care if you call me a horror poser. Like, okay, but the thing about the rumor has it thing, and this is something that I've talked about a bunch with this. Diodato, the guy, Ruggiero Diodato, I think is how you say his name, and the guy who directed it, basically. As much as he talks, and I talked about this in great length on Radio for the Creeps on the episode about Cannibal Holocaust, so I'm not going to go through all that again. But he talks about Cannibal Holocaust like it was a criticism of sensationalist media, a criticism of Mondo films, right? And in the process of attempting, at least, we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I don't trust the man, basically, is where this is going, okay? I don't trust the things he says, and so giving him the benefit of the doubt that he was actually trying to criticize Mondo films and not just make a Mondo film. In his attempt to do that, you know, to criticize like that, he created a Mondo film. He created a sensationalist piece of media. And then he spent the entire time since the film was made telling these tales of how brutal and real it is. And it's so real. I was taken to court. And it's so real that they made me prove that the actors were still alive and all of these stories, right? And yes, that's true. He got in trouble for making the movie because it was very graphic and it was banned in, you know, a million different places and all of that. And, it, you know, people really thought it was like a snuff film. Yeah. Now, where it goes from that's true to that is a rumor and that's a tall tale is when you start hearing these things of he had to bring the actors into the courtroom in order to prove that they were alive. The movie came out in 1980. They had other ways to prove that the actors weren't actually dead than having Diodato bring them to the court. Like, where did he put them all in a little school bus and bring them down to the courthouse and say, look, Your Honor, I present to you Exhibit A, the lead actress, and Exhibit B, the lead actor. Like, that's just silly. You know, like, if you believe that, that's kind of silly. You know, I'm sure they sent police to check on the people who appeared in the film, not bring them all down here to me and the judge will determine if they're actually alive. You know, like, that's him selling the movie.
Oh, of course.
So basically, you have a guy who directed it who's like a carnival barker. Step right up, we've got the best freaks in town, you know, and things like that, you know, then he goes and says things like that, and people are like, oh my god, he had to bring them into the courthouse. So, long story short, when you start listening to these sensationalist types like Diodato, you gotta take everything with a grain of salt. Did he go to trial? Yeah. Did he pack a school bus with all his actors and actresses and force them to come down to a courthouse to verify that they were alive, give blood, I don't know, have their heartbeat listened to? No, he didn't. That probably didn't happen. But, you know, the guy was trying to put the butts in the seats. So,
right.
If doubting that he had to parade them down there as literal specimens that they aren't dead, if not believing that makes me a horror poser, then so be it. I'll have it printed on a t-shirt. But yeah, so basically, this is where the Matt is the authority on Cannibal Holocaust shit continues. Like, someone will listen to this and they'll be like, I heard you talk about Cannibal Holocaust. Did you know? And then I'll be in it. The cycle will continue and the curse goes on.
And you can bring me into that cycle because you've already given me the curse.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and this one's your fault. If it sparks back up again, this new curse is all your fault. Like,
just at me on Twitter and I'll handle it, Matt. I'll text you for some notes real quick, but... And you know,
I'll just tell them, hey, you know, don't take my word for it. I'm a horror poser. Talk to Lane.
And you can at me, and I'm not joking. I will talk. And before we continue real quick, I do want to just say something to whoever calls you a horror poser. I know I'm probably about to be called a gun media ass kisser, whatever. No. To anyone who calls Matt Shacha a horror poser, you got that wrong, because I have never seen so many horror movies until I had met Matt Shacha. I literally should you not.
It was funny, because I didn't know about it until the person that I was interacting with reached out and was like, what's with that? And I was like, I don't know, what are you talking about? And he's like, somebody called you a horror poser and this, and I was like, oh, you know, that's just how it goes. It's like a, it's kind of like, you know, job associated risk. You know what I mean? Like, you work at Gun, you guys make horror games, you guys think you know a lot about horror, you don't know shit, you know? And that's just, it's going to forever be the thing, but it's all good.
Well, if that's true, Matt, I shouldn't have brought you on for Creature since you know nothing about horror. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Right.
No, but,
You know, so one more thing that we have to note, because we brought up Cannibal Holocaust. Still one of the best soundtracks. Riz Ortolani, one of the best soundtracks in a horror movie. It's so weird, and it has so much cool juxtaposition to what's happening. There's moments where it goes really weirdo, trippy, lava lampy, kind of, you know, like all that weird shit, man. One of my favorite horror soundtracks, Cannibal Holocaust. I say that completely without any sarcasm or jest in my voice. I love that soundtrack. Like, it's my favorite. So,
yeah, that
back
is
to Creepshow though. Speaking of soundtracks,
yeah, right.
Creepshow 1 and 2 have pretty great soundtracks too.
Oh yeah.
But Creepshow the series, they did a Blu-ray of season 1 that's actually put together really nice. It has some really cool features on it. And if you don't have the season 1 Blu-ray, man, you can watch all the episodes on Shudder, right? So I get that a lot of people are like, why do I need it on Blu-ray? I don't know. There's something to me about just having like that big old like 8-disc, I think it is, or 6-disc or something, Blu-ray of all the episodes. And I know I'll have them forever regardless of what happens. It's really cool. I hope that they do another one for season 2 when it's all wrapped up. I would love to start a collection of them, being kind of a physical media nerd. You know, I'd like to have all of the seasons. But what was your favorite episode from season 1, Lane?
Oh my God. Yes. All
well,
right.
I should say favorite segment. You don't have to do a 2-part, but, you know, favorite segment.
Oh man, probably a Bad Wolf Down. I fucking love Bad Wolf Down so much. I feel like we have never gotten anything good with werewolves in so long, but when I watched that episode, oh my God, I was like, there was that aching in my heart, that craving in my stomach for a good werewolf movie, and it was like, yeah, even though it wasn't a whole hour and 30, but it was so fucking good. Like, you had a lot, so much for like one small episode, you know, and it's, the way it goes is, like, it's crazy. You never see someone so ambiguous to become a werewolf. Like, they're literally their own survival tactic. But not only that, I love the transformation scenes. You know, like, a lot of nowadays movies will CGI the shit out of it and make it look dumb. But it's like, you know, Creepshow, it has, like, that cool comic color in the back. And then it shows, like, the minor transformations. And it, like, blows my mind.
I really enjoyed Bad Wolf Down too, man. I think that, again, you know, you want to talk about campfire stories. That's a great campfire story, right?
Yeah.
So hunker down in the prison, and they realize, oh, she's a werewolf, right. And the only way out was to have her bite them, so they could fight their way out against the night. Like, that's a great campfire story, you know. Like, it's just cool, you know. A little bit of retribution in there too, and they catch Quist, and it's packed with werewolf movie Easter eggs too.
Oh, yeah, that it is.
Lawrence Talbot, the name of the main character in it. I think he's like a sergeant. But Lawrence Talbot is the name of the original Wolfman. And then Quist is the kind of scumbaggy soldier that locks him in the cell to begin with and then runs off.
Hashtag fuck
and,
Quist.
And gets his. Quist is the name of the family name of the werewolf in Howling.
Even
Howling, but yeah, and I think there's another nod, if I'm not mistaken, to American Werewolf in London, but I can't recall. But another cool thing is that you'll notice that they all turn into different types of werewolves, indicative of the different werewolf movies. One of them is like a very wolfman kind of wolf. Mm-hmm. One of them is like a very howling kind of werewolf, you know? Yeah. You know, up on hind legs, the other one's on all fours, the other one's a man with a wolf face, you know? Like, it's kind of cool that they did all the different nods to different werewolf movies.
Yeah, that really blew my mind. And a thing that I really love about Creepshow, so to the people who have honestly been listening to me since like season one of my show, everyone knows I'm like a really big comic book fan. And Creepshow definitely has always kept my eye because it's in a very comic book style. I mean, even the series, and that's what makes me so hyped for the series, is because it's such a divine taste. Like, you see it open up as a comic book style, the creeps talking to you, and it makes me like really, really excited, like, and it blows my mind every time. Like, it's just, again, the comic taste to it. I have no words. It blows my mind.
And did you know that when they were doing the press for Creepshow season one, they teamed up with Heavy Metal Comics, I think it is, and they did one singular like comic book print for the new Creepshow, and the stories, what? I want to say, are written by. I think the stories are written by Nicotero, or I think he wrote the stories, and then they had Heavy Metal Comics do a comic book of it. I was lucky enough, it was like a San Diego Comic-Con kind of thing. You can still get them online in different places, but
I was about to say, I was like, you didn't pick San me Diego one up? Comic-Con,
they had them, they had them signed by Nicotero and everything. I actually picked up two copies because I'm that big of a dork. I picked up one that was graded and in like a slab, so it's preserved forever, and then I picked up one that is loose, so I could, you know, have one to read. And the stories are pretty cool, traditional Creepshow stories. I guess they didn't make the cut for the show or something, but they're pretty cool, you know, traditional Creepshow kind of stories. And it's a pretty neat thing to have for a comic book Creepshow fan. You got to look into it, Lane. See if you can get your hands on one.
I definitely will. I definitely will. Yeah, and another thing I really love about Creepshow is, you know, and I want to go back to something you were talking about earlier about how a lot of horror movies have kind of gone with a very similar taste. I don't know about you, it might just be me, but I'm kind of really fucking done with supernatural things. I've probably said this about a million times, and that's what I love
in
about
what
Creepshow.
Way? Wait, hold on, before you go on, expand on that. In what way? What supernatural? Because I'm all for weirdo cosmic horror lately.
Right,
I've been on a kick for like a year now.
You're right. I should probably explain that a little bit better. What I mean is fucking ghost. I'm done with Paranormal Activity, Conjuring, all that, you know, Insidious. Yeah. That I'm done with for like a good minute. So Creepshow will definitely, it has more of a monster taste to it. The elevator episode in season one is, I wouldn't even say that's supernatural. It's more of a psychological one because there were no ghosts in there. That was just her psychologically traumatized. So with Creepshow, it definitely gives you just more of a monster serial killer vibe to it, and that's what I really love with it, is it's not CGI and the lamps moving type cosmic stuff. That's cool, but like I said, I'm just done with ghosts.
I'm a little done with ghosts too. I feel like the ghost hunter craze that everybody went through a couple years ago or whatever, I was done then. You know, like when every show on TV was paranormal this or ghost hunting that. We're going to go to the haunted house. Did you hear that? And, you know, like I'm seeing something on the waveform, you know, and all that stuff. That kind of did me in, and I got sick and tired of ghost stories. But
yeah exactly.
Sorry, anybody got upset.
I'm not sorry. Y'all need to chill on the supernatural.
Said, I'm not sorry. I don't care. I'm tired of ghosts.
I'm a pretty positive man. You know this, Matt. But damn, they're just, except I have my ghosts. Limits.
except them goddamn ghosts. So I'm sorry now. You were saying.
Very good. So with Creepshow, it's just, again, it has the monster vibes. I mean, literally season two, episode one is Billy meets the Gill Man, and it is literally him using voodoo action figures. And what was the one after? Now I can't remember the one after. It's like right down
second
the top of my
part of it was what was it? Something public access.
Yeah.
Of the dead.
Yes. Okay.
Public access of the dead, or something like that.
So this episode blew my mind. First off, it has Ted Raimi.
Yeah.
To those who somehow don't know who Ted Raimi is, he is Sam Raimi's brother, who's also worked on the production of Evil Dead, featuring Bruce Campbell in the original three with Evil Dead 1, 2, and Army of Darkness, and Ash vs. Evil Dead, of course. So this is really cool because it was like an Easter egg of Bob Ross, Evil Dead in it, and everything.
Which, you know, there's another part to this, Lane, that you're missing. Nicotero worked on Evil Dead 2.
Really?
He did makeup on Evil Dead 2. Oh, I don't know if he was the lead, but he worked on Evil Dead 2 as well. So again, that, like, Creepshow doesn't just do things. You know what I'm saying? In the Creepshow franchise, it must be so much fun working on them.
Yeah.
On Creepshow, because they don't just do things. They don't just say, let's do an Evil Dead episode. You know, like, they have these ties to the source material again. And, so they had Ted Raimi there. The Nicotero was a part of it. So, yeah, pretty cool stuff. And a little homage to Evil Dead and having the Necronomicon in there and all that.
That was really good. And to see Ted Raimi as a Deadeye, that blew my mind. Like, I mean, I know he's...
That was really cool.
That, yeah. And the way they... Another thing I really loved throughout this episode is... You know, like, throughout the Evil Dead series, the camera, like, flies around, but it's, like, the perspective of the soul that's traveling. That, I loved, is what they also brought into it. That was great. And Evil Dead has a comedic taste, and they kept that as well. So, that I really loved, too. So, this, that really, and I don't even know how I forgot about that, because I was literally sitting here in the back of my head going, I'm gonna bring this episode up, and I forgot it. But honestly,
yeah, as a matter of fact, all of KNB, I broke my rule once and now I just am breaking the hell out of it. All of KNB was involved in the making of Evil Dead 2.
Wow.
They were all involved, Howard Berger, Robert Kurtzman, and Greg Nicotero, all involved. So one of the things I really liked too, I don't know if you noticed, but there's one of the Deadites, he gets burnt and his face is all roasted. And he looks just like Nathan Grantham from Father's Day in Creepshow 1.
Yes.
He looks just like the father from Father's Day. You know, he comes out, I finally got my cake. You know, yeah. Like, his head's all rotting from being buried and stuff. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
I really loved both segments. And what's really cool is I'm psyched for episode 2. I'm psyched for all of season 2 because... Season 1 started out similarly for me. I watched the first two segments, and that was Grey Matter and House of the Head. And right after, you know, just after those two segments, I was like, I'm in. I'm in for this, mm-hmm. this Creepshow season. This is going to be great. You know, because you worry about these things when you're a big fan of the films. You worry, like, is this going to hit the mark? You know, I mean, yeah. I have high hopes because Nicotero, but is it going to, you know, hit the mark, or am I going to be left bummed? And with season 2, the same thing. These first two episodes just were home runs. I mean, these first two segments were total home runs, and I'm really excited for all of season 2 now.
Oh, yeah. I definitely am, too. And that was my only... I'm going to be real with you. That was my only fear, is season 1 was really good. And I was like, man, yeah. I don't know if season 2 can top this. And then, honestly... Compared to season 1, episode 1, season 2, episode 1 definitely blew season 1's episode premiere out the water to me. It honestly just really pushed it for me because I'm a very big Evil Dead fan, honestly. I'm probably more of a Evil Dead fan just a little bit more than Friday the 13th, mainly because of Ash Williams.
That's fine. You don't have to say that like you're holding back. I don't take it personal.
No, it's just I always go out on episodes. I'm like, oh, I'm a big Friday 13th fan, and now I feel like ever since I said this, people are gonna be like,
you're a horror poser.
Yeah, there we go. I'm a horror poser. But
horror poser. No, listen, man, I'm a pretty big Evil Dead fan too. I can't really compare first episode of each season. I can't really compare them to each other because there's something about the story in Grey Matter that just really, like, I don't know, I've talked at length about Grey Matter and how much I love the concept of it. And,
oh, yeah, it was great.
House of the Head is so creative, and it's so such a cute, cool horror story. The model kid from season 2 is just, again, one that really strikes a chord with me and really, like, kind of gets me, you know, being a horror fan since I was a little kid.
Oh, yeah,
And then Public Access to the Dead is an homage to some great horror films with some really cool off the walls, kind of at times hilarious bits in it. And so like those four all together are all, I mean, they all get perfect marks from me. So there's no way to compare them, you know, it's they're gold, both of them. So yeah.
Yeah.
But I definitely have high hopes because they did do some big things with this. You know, we're seeing, we're not seeing any, like, how do I say this without sounding fucked up, right? Like, sometimes when a series gets renewed, but, you know, let's put it this way, budgets shift every season for these kinds of things, right?
Right.
And sometimes they can shift one way, the other, you know, like, hey, you know, first season did well, we're going to give you guys more money to make each episode. Sometimes they shift the other way and they say, hey, you know, it's not really, we want to renew it, but, you know, this is our new budget. It really all depends, and you see it across all shows. I mean, even Walking Dead kind of had that, you know, the amount of zombies on screen or in one episode and all of that changed throughout the life of the show as the show was just steamrolling and printing money, you know. So I was a little worried about where that would go. In season one, they had some good monsters. You know, again, we talk about they had, you know, full werewolves. They had the actual gray matter monster in the gray matter episode. They had monsters and shit.
Oh yeah.
With season two, we saw a gill man. We saw a good looking mummy. We saw a bunch of deadites. Like, man,
the deadites were fabulous.
They're still, yeah. They didn't, you know, they didn't put any brakes on is what I'm getting at, which is really good to see. And I hope that, considering that it's a show run by a special effects artist and one of the masters in that field, I'm really hyped that we're not seeing any kind of slowing down in that department. And we're, you know, if anything, we're getting more full, you know, fully realized monsters, you know.
Yeah. And let me just say this is, I think, honestly, again, what really pushed me, I know you definitely can't compare, but what really pushed me the most with the model kid is when you said that, and I definitely relate with it too, of growing up into horror, but the one thing that I really relate the most is, like, you know, the scene where he's, like, watching the Gill Man episode with, like, his mom and all that and everything?
Yeah.
See, I feel that because growing up in horror, a lot of my family thought it was weird. They were like, oh, man, he's weird for being into horror. I mean, he seems like a really cool kid, but he's definitely still really weird because no one should be into horror. But, you know, she didn't shut it down. You know, me and my mom, we actually watched horror movies together. You know, she encouraged a lot of me, and I've met a lot of cool people because of her not shutting it down but feeling it. I mean, hell, it's definitely a big reason of the podcast, you know? I mean, without horror, this podcast wouldn't have had a chunk of it. So, I mean, in all honesty, with the model kid, I can definitely feel for that one. Then again, the Evil Dead episode, Public Dead Access, I just fucking loved it because Evil Dead.
Well, I know there's some cool shit. Nick Taro shared an image of a giant spider at one point on Instagram.
That I can't wait to see.
I can't wait to see what that is. And Barbara Crampton, I think, is in this episode. Episode 2, I think she had a part in it. There's a lot of folks that are appearing in this season 2 that it should be pretty interesting. You know, the first episode had, what is it, Kevin or Matt? It was Kevin Dillon, I believe. And Ted Raimi, and you know, we're seeing some names in this, and that's really cool too, because that's another indicator of, you know, it being a project that's got legs, it's rolling along, you know, people wanting to be involved, people, horror legends like Barbara Crampton wanting to get involved. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Ashley Lawrence, who was in the original Hellraiser, I think she's in one of the episodes this season too.
No kidding.
But anyhow, yeah, the point being that, you know, these folks wanting to be involved is a good indicator of where it's going, how it's going, and all of that. And it's getting, and it's bringing in, again, that familial sense where, you know, these are almost, it feels like old friends in this, you know, when you see, you know, somebody like a Barbara Crampton pop up or a Ted Raimi pop up. These are people we've grown up watching and all that in different ways and grown up knowing the names in the world of horror. So it's really cool to see them all making appearances and popping up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I definitely can agree with you on that. There was another name back in 2020. There was another name that was definitely announced, and I remember it was really huge that was coming to Creepshow. And I cannot remember who it was. Oh, God. And it's like, and literally when you had said that with names coming, it clicked in my head. Like, I remember just all being over Twitter. Matt, I'm going to have to break that rule of Googling soon.
Yeah.
No.
Well, you know, I won't judge you. I did it 2-3 times today, so.
Well, I'm afraid if I do, you're going to call me a horror poser. Please don't. No.
Just... All right, you're in good company for that. again, like I said, though, I feel like those folks popping up, that's a good sign. And for any fans of Creepshow, I think that's a great sign.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I definitely think it's a really good sign when well-known names want to hop into something.
Yeah.
And I'm not meaning that as the people who we don't definitely know are not good actors or actresses. I'm not meaning that out by any means, but hey, if someone's pretty well-known, you definitely want to see them. I mean, like I said, I really got excited to see Ted Raimi represent himself and, of course, the Evil Dead realm as well in it. With it. So, I mean, like I said, that's okay because that's what attracts people, you know? I mean, when you talk about something that's pretty big and high and out there, you're like, oh, hey, sweet, I know their name, let me watch this. Oh my gosh, now I gotta watch the next episode, and they realize it's good. It's just, it's how you draw people in.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, it just, I mean, I can't go anymore with it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it would be really cool to see is, you know, and I'm pretty sure that there's the Scarecrow episode in season one, and there's actually a lot of people miss it too. There's a Friday the 13th part 4 Easter egg in there. It's a
the companion you're talking about.
Yeah, the companion. Damn it. Yeah, new.
Yeah. What's the story? F-13 Easter egg.
Yeah, it's part 4. It's spray painted. It says someone's name is a dead fuck. You know, when the kids are talking and. He's like, you're a dead fuck. He's like, what you mean I'm a dead fuck? And
yeah, I mentioned that on Radio for the Creeps. I can't believe I totally forgot about that. Jimmy is a dead fuck. Yeah, it says it in the underpass where the kid is after he gets beat up.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
He's sitting there, remember, and the chubby kid kind of comes down, and he's like, want me to kick his ass?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the Tom Savini worked on Friday the 13th Part 4. He also did part 1, but he worked on part 4 also. Mm-hmm. And, Savini was obviously very involved with Creepshow season 1. He directed 2 episodes, I want to say. I know he did By the Silver Waters of Lake Champlain, which is a stellar episode.
Oh, yeah.
I think he directed another one, but I can't remember now. He might have, he might not have in season 1, but Savini is actually, he's a pretty accomplished director.
Oh, yeah.
And we all know him for makeup, but yeah.
Yeah, no. Tom Savini.
Silver Waters of Lake Champlain is one of my favorite segments from that, too.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. But Tom Savini, he's a very brilliant mind. I mean, hell, he even did a Jason kill in part 4. It's with the chick who has the Go Vegan sign. He literally takes the knife and slits her throat with it. But yeah, no. Savini is definitely a very brilliant mind.
He really kind of was. His work in Creepshow is kind of cool and kind of fun, and when you hear him talk about it, I think I'm going out on a limb here, but I'm pretty confident I'm not mistaken. I think he's been quoted as saying that Fluffy the Crepe Monster was like one of the first like monsters he was able to just fully create for a film. It wasn't like, oh, make this person look dead or make this person look like, you know, whatever. It was something where we need a monster in a crate, design a monster in a crate, and Savini got to do that, and that's why Fluffy has always been very special to Tom Savini. But he also just seemed like a kid in an amusement park when, you know, in terms of Creepshow, because he just was, you know, able to do 100 different types of effects in one film, you know, as opposed to Friday the 13th, where it's a lot of machetes and knives or something, you know what I mean? Like, he was creating seaweed monsters and decomposed bodies and crate monsters and all kinds of different things, you know. Created the corpse of the old man and creeping up on you, doing Geordie Merrill with the meteor shit all over him, you know? Geordie Farrell, rather, excuse me, with the meteor shit all over him and so on and so forth. Like, that's got to be great, you know? That's got to be great to be able to be involved in something like that.
Oh yeah, and not only he's a really good special effect artist, director, and etc., he's also a really good actor. I feel like he's definitely not talked about his acting a lot. I mean, honestly, Tom Savini's a brilliant actor. He really is.
I like him. I like him in From Dusk Till Dawn,
Yes, I was
Sex
just about to
Machine.
mention that. Yeah, he definitely inspired. He inspired me of the word of Glock and balls because of his weapon of choice. But no, I mean honestly though, Tom Savini is definitely a very brilliant mastermind. In fact, didn't he do the he didn't he inspire the Jason for Friday the 13th the game? Savini Jason, right?
Oh yeah, he did. No,
Yeah.
he designed Savini Jason.
Oh, he designed. Gotcha.
Yeah, he designed Savini Jason to be, Jason after Jason goes to hell kind of thing, and yeah.
Yeah, see, I wasn't ever. That's what I thought, but I wasn't 100% sure. I wasn't sure if y'all were like, hey, he's been a part of this before. Let's think of what he would have done, or if he actually, like.
Yeah, no, he was involved. That's why
Holy
his
shit.
signature is all over collector's editions and things like that. Savini was involved. I and again, this was before my time on the project, but I want to say Savini was involved in consulting a lot, and as well as creative and design for Savini Jason. So yeah,
Awesome. Yeah,
pretty
wow.
cool, right?
That's phenomenal. Yeah.
I believe me, I wish I was at Gunn at that time. I would have loved to have met him, but I have not been able to meet him yet. I got to meet a couple of the other folks, Kane, Tom, all those guys. But Savini is one chance person to meet that I didn't get to meet, and I'm bummed about it. Hopefully, on a future project or something, we'll be able to cross paths, and I'll get a chance to shake his hand because yeah, the man's a legend. So.
Tom Savini's just gonna walk into the door, and Matt's gonna have like 10,000 things for him to sign of Creepshow.
Yeah, I turned into a real fanboy. When I met Tom Matthews, it was crazy. I hit him with all my Return of the Living Dead stuff, obviously, because as much as he's Tommy Jarvis, to me he's also Freddy from Freddy Always Knows Where There's a Party from Return of the Living Dead.
Oh yeah.
So I showed up with the Fangoria with him as Freddy on the cover. I showed up with like the trading card from Fright Rags with him and James Karen on it, and I was like, man, you gotta sign these things for me. And he was a real champ about it, because I walked up to him and I was like, yeah, my name is Matt. I work at Gunn. We made the Friday the 13th game. I wasn't working there yet when you worked on it, but I wanted to introduce myself. Can you sign all my Return of the Living Dead shit? He was like, I had no Friday the 13th shit. I was just like, sign all my Return of the Living Dead shit, please. And he was a really good sport about it. It was really cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, I mean, hell, I mean, honestly, he's probably more. He probably. I'm getting tongue tied. He's probably was more excited about that because honestly, he probably had about 12,000 people come up that day and be like, "Oh, it's
Yeah.
Tommy Jarvis." So he's like, "Finally, someone recognizes me as goddamn Freddy."
Yeah. Well, I mean, when I showed him the Fangoria, his eyes lit up. He was like, "Is this the one with me going all crazy on the cover?" And I handed it to him. I said, "Yeah, man, check it out." And so he was flipping through the pages and just, you could tell it was a nostalgic thing for him to see it, which is pretty cool. It's one of my favorite collectibles because, I have Linnea Quigley's signature on it. I have Clu Gulager's signature on it. He played Bert. And I have Tom Matthews' signature on it. And, sadly, some of the actors in it are no longer with us, but I hope to collect a few more, like Miguel Nunez and,
Full of brilliant people. You have Tom Matthews, Tom Savini. I mean, again, these are very brilliant minds.
yeah.
But honestly, the one thing that Tom Savini has really made me appreciate is special effects. And I will definitely say, oh, I was pretty much. I grew up around the times of ending of special effects more to the folks of CGI.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna exactly say because every time I do it backlashes and I always get told I'm a fucking kid, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, which is a argument that I really hate having a lot. So here's all I'm gonna say is I grew up around the ending of Special Effects and Appreciations and more of the fuck it, let's CGI it. And I will say this is watching Tom Savini's work as a young person and just admiring the beauty of it to watching like Creepshow now, it's amazing. It really is. And it honestly blows my mind that
I think I think as with all things, there's a something to be said for harmony there. CGI has a place. Special, like actual makeup effects have a place. Practical effects have a place. I definitely lean more toward the practical. I enjoy that more, especially when they're done well. And I think that someone like Tom Savini, as much as he is a household name and he's so well known, I think he deserves all the respect and even more because through him working with other people who have then become, you know, greats in that industry, to him having the makeup school where he's training people to do, you know, like Tom Savini is one of those people that they're passionate about their craft and they're keeping it alive in a lot of ways. And, you know, I just think that he's kind of like the dad of it all in a lot of ways. You know, there's others that are also great, of course. Baker and Botine and people like that. You know, but by the same note, there's just something about Tom Savini and the way he got into doing makeup effects and the type of person that he is, you know, a lifelong horror fan, loving Lon Chaney and things like that. Yeah, he definitely like kind of keeps the artistry alive. And, you know, again, you know, it's funny when I talk about Nicotero because I'm such a big fan. Nicotero, you know, worked with Savini early in his career. I think he was like an intern or like, you know, an apprentice with Tom Savini. And so, again, it goes right back to the granddad of it all, the dad of it all, you know. And, yeah, the man's a legend. So he deserves all the respect and airtime he can get.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I definitely can agree with you, and I have zero arguments there, that's for sure. That's the thing I really love about Creepshow, man. Honestly, it's so much special effects. It really is, and it honestly has been since Creepshow 1, and yeah, even though Creepshow 1 definitely has a big thing, Creepshow 2 is honestly my all-time favorite. First off, I really love The Raft. The Raft is very cynical.
Oh, yeah.
It starts out super light, but it goes very cynical very fast. And The Hitchhiker, you know, that is a really fun story, and it's definitely underappreciated. It really is. First off, The Hitchhiker is a very big lesson. If you're new to driving and you have zero thoughts about it, let me tell you something. You hit someone, you might fuck up, and they're going to thank you for a ride. And if you don't know what I'm quoting, you need to watch it right now.
thanks for the ride, lady.
Yeah, thanks for the ride, lady. Oh, my gosh.
Thanks for the ride. Thanks for the ride, lady.
That is such a great episode or segment or clip or story, however you put that in the movie.
Also, fuck that woman. She should have stopped. Jesus. Like, fuck that woman.
Yeah, I have zero sympathy, empathy, whatever for that woman. I do not feel bad for her. She got what she deserved for not paying attention and stopping. I mean, you know, to hit someone, it could happen. It sucks. But to just keep driving, no. You got your ass. You know what? He got your ass. That's all I'm going to say. And, you know, get fucked, basically, for being that to him. I mean, hell, let me tell you something. I would have done the same thing. If someone ran me over, if all I was trying to get is just to a place real quick and someone ran me over, shit, I'd be thanking everyone for a ride.
Yeah, I'll haunt the lady in a Mercedes who ran me over and didn't think twice about pulling away. So. I'm looking forward to watching Creepshow season 2, episode 2 now, and honestly, I'm looking forward to the entirety of this next season, and I'm friggin' pleased as punch to hear that they've got a season 3 coming. I can't wait to see that giant spider that he teased, too, though, because I'm really kind of curious about that.
Yeah, I definitely am as well. I've been very curious about that. Ever since it's been posted. Mainly because it gives me Mist vibes. The Mist 2008 by Stephen King. Of course, it's not by him, but the person who directed it based it off of Stephen King's The Mist. I'm mainly curious because that's what it definitely gives me is the Mist vibes. And also, it kind of reminds me a little bit of the Bob segment from season 1. I really loved Bob. I really did.
Yeah.
Bob was cool. He turned out just from a little finger to this creature that literally took a man's balls because his truck had balls.
I love that.
No, Bob was awesome. But Creepshow, it's excellent. It definitely holds up, except, again, minus Creepshow 3. That's not real Creepshow. It just has the name.
We'll continue to not talk about Creepshow 3.
It will be like Spider-Man 3. It does not exist. We do not know what you're talking about.
Erase it from the canon.
Right? We need to do some studying tonight, Matt, of how we can prove that Creepshow 3 is non-canon. You know,
I mean, that would require watching it again, though. I'm not really. I'm all right.
Honestly, though, for me, what really steers me away from Creepshow 3, and I have to say, it gives me more Goosebumps vibes than Creepshow vibes. It really does. Like, Creepshow 3 really just feels like more like Goosebumps. I don't know if you've ever seen that before, Matt, or read the books.
Yeah, I can see that. But not, like, in a good way. I don't know. Like, Goosebumps I can get down with, you know?
It's like... whoever directed it was like, what's Creepshow? And they're like, it's the adult version of Goosebumps. Oh, okay. They just fucked it up real bad. That's basically pretty much all I have to say about Creepshow. You got anything, Matt? Besides Googling, taking notes?
No, I'm all squared away on that. If you haven't caught it yet, obviously tune in and check it out on Shudder. And, let's try and help keep it going.
Yeah. Definitely. And if you're not aware of their schedule or posting or what they're up to, definitely follow Creepshow on Twitter. You can even check out a couple of the writers on there. I know Stephen Langford's on there. And believe it or not, he actually follows me, which is really cool.
Oh, rad.
Yeah. And then you can also definitely check them out again on Shudder, or if you have Amazon Prime, you can get a Shudder subscription, which I have.
Shudder channel, yeah.
Yeah, and it's really epic. You get basically all unlimited access. It's just with your Amazon Prime. And don't forget to definitely check out Matt Shacha. You can definitely follow him on there. He is, again, the community dev for Gun Media. And he's also...
That's right.
He's pretty funny. If you follow him on Instagram, too, you'll get a lot of Jeep pics, which I always appreciate.
Yeah.
The Jeep pics are awesome.
That's the bulk of my social posting right now, because anything I'm working on can't be talked about. So, it's just kind of, here's a picture of my Jeep. Here's my daughter having a picnic. Cool. Talk to you guys next week. at least for now, until we can talk about what I am working on. So,
yeah. And of course, you can definitely, to those who aren't aware, Matt actually had a podcast up and going. A lot has come down with him, though. However, I still highly recommend Radio for the Creeps. It is a really excellent podcast. New episodes are coming out. It's entertainable. It's really good. Matt Shachaw is definitely a big person of knowledge on horror. It astounds my mind.
Thanks, bud.
And what I really love and I appreciate of his show and the way Matt speaks, and I can always bring him on as a guest, is his wording of horror. It just astounds me. Like, Matt Shachaw can word no other things like he can. I mean, it blows my mind. So be sure to check that out. Of course, man. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter. You'll just be seeing me randomly at things. Of course, me posting my grinder back at the gym, new episodes, what I'm playing, and of course, things that I wish I could say happened to me, like getting wins in video games, but it's more of me bitching about why I suck at them. And then, of course, adding Matt just about why he had to put the curse of Cannibal Holocaust on me.
Ooh. Yeah, and follow both of us for all of the juicy Cannibal Holocaust, curse. So, yeah, there's that.
And when you do, tweet out us hashtag horror posers. That would be excellent. That would make
That'll do it. Yeah. Please, let me know.
Yes.
I really think I'm going to make it on. I think I'm going to put it on a shirt, just white letters on a black shirt, horror poser.
If you do, let me.
I think I'm going to do it.
If you do, send me one as well. I'll pay
you up for one.
I will cash app you. Just send me one. Yeah. I'll Zelle Pay, whatever, sure Venmo. We need those shirts.
Simplest, most terrible t-shirt ever, and I'll wear it everywhere. I'll love it.
Right? Right? For real. Alrighty. But seriously, Matt, thank you for joining me again, man. I know things have been busy on you, which is why I asked you very, very short notice, and I really do appreciate you taking your time out to chat Creepshow with me, because, like I said, if I knew anyone I was going to pick, it would be you. You definitely came to my mind first, no questions asked.
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it, and anytime. I love talking about horror movies, and you know, Radio for the Creeps having only one season and not doing a season two, there's a part of me that's real torn on it, you know, because I love doing this. I love just sitting down gabbing about horror. You know, it's just the situation right now, you know, between work and life and all the things. I find myself low on time, and it's all good things. It's all good reasons, but I'm just so low on time that I find myself kind of going like, man, I don't know about every week. And you know how these things go. It would be best to stick to a schedule. So then you start getting stressed out and you're thinking, how can I keep a schedule going if, you know, 1 week I can do it, 1 week I can't. And it just so happened that this week you popped up and you were like, hey, I want to do a Creepshow episode. You want on? Number one, I love Creepshow. And number two, it was actually a pretty good week for it. So, you know, I'm glad that the, like, kind of the stars aligned for us there and I was able to do it. And thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, of course, man. Yeah, trust me, I've literally been trying. You know me, man. I always find reasons to bring you on. I mean, literally, season two of The Lane Shift, you were on for like a good four episodes of it, which was really made me happy that, and it made me felt like you really enjoyed being a part of my show. I mean, it really does.
Of course. I'm a fan. And I think that what you're doing with The Lane Shift is great because I really enjoy your approach to it. And I think that it's a really fun show and it's a really, you know, it's a mellow show and it's something that you just kind of have a knack for. So I'm a big fan of what you're doing. And I think that more folks should take a cue from you and jump out there. And if they want to do a thing, just do it, start doing it. And get involved and get creative in some way. And I think that The Lane Shift is a good example of that. So I'm always happy to be on. So much appreciated, bud.
Oh, well, I appreciate that, man. That really, really means the world. But like I said, man, you're always welcomed. Like, you know, you're busy in life. If you ever just want to chat or, you know, man, you know how to contact me. Let's be real. I'm always glad to have you.
We may have to revisit this Creepshow topic once we're done with all of season two. Maybe we'll have to get back together once all of season two is out in the wild. We can just focus on season two and talk about segments. That would be a fun one.
Yes, I agree. And I'm going to...
I'll have to make sure I carve some time out to make sure I've got a good window of time in order to talk a whole season. But yeah, we should do that.
Right? Yeah, I definitely
save agree. The date, listeners.
Save the dates, exactly. And if you don't, it's just you're just being rude at this point.
Right.
No. Right. But
we'll talk Creepshow and of course some Cannibal Holocaust. So. to this day it is the lowest listened to episode of Radio for the Creeps. And it's not just the lowest listened to episode of Radio for the Creeps. It's the lowest listened to, like, as in its total numbers for the entire time that it's been out are usually like the first hour numbers for other episodes. That's how bad it's done, that Cannibal Holocaust episode. It has been in the wild for almost a year, and its downloads are where most of my episodes are after a couple hours. So take that as you will. I'm cursed with the topic. And I've just kind of resigned myself to that fact at this point.
Well, you've made me second and cursed because, again, and you know, because I'll be at you on there and I'll be like, Matt, like, God damn you, Matt.
For like 3 days, it had five downloads. For like 3 days, it only had five downloads. And I was like, is something wrong? Like, did it not populate on the things? No, it's just nobody wants to hear it. Everybody's like, Cannibal Holocaust. Now, fuck that.
Yeah. And it's crazy because, That's Doom for me, like the video game Doom. That is actually Doom for me. It's a cursed topic. I really love Doom, but it does not do so well. Like when Doom Eternal came out last year, I was going to end up doing a review on it. I never made it out. And afterwards, I tried some redemption points on the DLCs and all that and didn't do good. I just did the last episode, which is, of course, Doom v. Wolfenstein, both Bethesda games. It was a celebration of Bethesda joins Xbox. And it didn't do as hot as the last few episodes. I mean, the one before is, of course, the Snyder Cut, but the one before Snyder Cut is Snakes on a Plane, and that one really blew out the water, which I was really happy about. First off, thank you to all who really enjoyed that one.
That's awesome, though. Isn't it great seeing how those things, like, go, though? Like, what just, like, grabs a hold of folks? Like, I love that. Yeah. I wouldn't have guessed Snakes on a Plane, but hey. That's awesome.
Well, that's what my show's about. So it's all about topics like that. But
We need to do like a Doom Cannibal Holocaust episode somehow. If we could figure out how to work those two together, we would have the ultimate like nuke for topics. But
Yes.
anyway, I apologize. We're wrapping up and I'm going off on tangents a bit. Sorry.
You're good. So, Matt, any final words?
No, just check out Creepshow. I'm a horror poser. Thanks for listening.
Well, thank you for being here, Matt. I'm now officially a horror poser, and also check out Creepshow. Follow us on Twitter.
Yeah.
If you don't, you will not be a horror poser, and
That's right.
that's not good. You got to be a horror poser.
And that's where all the cool kids are, so get with it.
Exactly. Give with the times, people. Come on. Alrighty. Freaks and geeks, thank you so much for listening. Again, we also have a Patreon for, I think, I can't remember. I dropped the price so much nowadays. I think it's $2 for a shout out. Yes, you can have a shout out on the Lane Shift where you can either be customized through message or my generic but funny one where I always say, stay freaky, geeky, and hell, even sexy. That's just me though, because hey, you gotta embrace your beautiful side, of course. But I
Right.
want to thank our Patreon, Kyle Prescott. You're sexy, you're freaky and geeky, and stay with it, man. And I appreciate you financially supporting this crazy ass show. Until next time.